Abortion is illegal in Kentucky, but this does not mean that abortions are not happening. And if you were to go to an abortion clinic across state lines, let's say in Ohio or Illinois, you would find the parking lot filled with license plates from Kentucky residents. According to the state attorney general, Bill Coleman's office, there are likely more abortions today than there were before the Dobbs decision in 2022. Hi, this is Richard Nelson, host of The Commonwealth Matters. And joining us to talk further about pro-life and abortion-related issues is State Representative Nancy Tate. She is a chairman of the Pro-Life Caucus and a friend of CPC's. Nancy, thank you for joining us.
Richard, thank you for allowing me to be here and to talk about this important matter.
You don't know how much I appreciate your time, because the audience doesn't understand this, but you are literally between two meetings.
Yes, sir.
A committee meeting that we were both in on together a little while ago, and then you gavel in shortly. So
yes.
I wish we could have a whole hour or two to talk about these issues, but we don't.
That's right.
For the sake of time.
That's right.
So I want to jump right in and talk about House Bill 646. And it would do a number of things. It classifies abortion-inducing drugs as Schedule 4 controlled substances. It would restrict the shipment of those drugs across state lines. There's serious penalties
that's
for those
right.
who are trafficking in mm-hmm. life-ending drugs. So that's on the early life stages side of things.
That's right.
But your bill also addresses the end-of-life journey,
right.
the medical aid in dying. That's a new term. I don't like to use that term.
I don't either.
But assisted suicide is more appropriate. Your bill addresses that
as
well. So tell us what's prompted you to sponsor this bill.
Yeah, so thank you very much, Richard. I appreciate that. Yeah, you're right. So it's basically, this kind of sounds like a slang, but whenever I'm talking to some people, it's like a pill kill bill. And it basically is pills, and it's where it's actually making it to where it's giving people the opportunity to kill their baby or kill themselves in the convenience of their own home. And it's supposed to be compassionate. It's supposed to be safe. It's supposed to be, but it's really not,
yeah.
you know. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm really excited about this piece of legislation, is because, as you have stated, legal abortions, are not, there are no legal abortions in the Commonwealth of Kentucky,
right.
and there's really no legal assisted suicide or euthanasia in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and yet pills are coming across the border into the United States and into our state lines and into our homes,
and it's
concerning.
So back in 2022, the state legislature did pass a law saying it's illegal to ship life-ending drugs, abortion-inducing drugs, through the mail. So why is this happening? Why isn't that law in effect right now?
Yeah, so what actually happened, Richard, and I'm glad you brought this up, because in 2022, we passed House Bill 3. And what House Bill 3 actually said was it was responding to the FDA removing the regulations from 2021. And so what House Bill 3 did is it said, okay, doctors and okay, pharmacies, if you want to ship and prescribe and distribute the abortion pills, then you have to register with an agency here in Kentucky that declares that you're going to do that. It's going to be available. Your information is going to be available to the general public mm-hmm. that you are participating and abortions. And so, but then, as you know, and then Roe v. Wade was overturned
yeah.
in June of 2022. Yeah. So you would think that we've done everything that we need to do, and yet these pills are still coming into the Commonwealth of Kentucky. As a matter of fact, and advertising,
yeah.
because I'm sure that you're very aware of the advertisements
yeah.
that are occurring here.
Primarily in Eastern Kentucky.
Primarily
at the
in
gas
Eastern
station.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's 80 gas stations that we know of where whenever you're pumping your gas and you hear the advertisements, well, if you need a, you know, here's a convenient way for you to get your pills to end your abortion.
So Nancy, let me ask you this. Do you know if those companies that are advertising at these gas stations, are they registering with some state agency per the 2022 law? Are
right.
they indicating
yeah.
their name, their
yeah.
address?
Well, so what happened is after Roe v. Wade was overturned in yeah. June of 2022, then the Health and Family Services here in Kentucky said that we no longer needed to register, that those doctors or pharmacists no longer needed to register. So we didn't need that registration. And so the answer is no, there's no registration. There's no awareness. There's no really concern that these pills are being brought across the state line. And what this bill does is it makes it exactly like fentanyl. And pseudoephedrine is because, as we know, fentanyl actually has a medical purpose. Yeah. And so it's used for pain relief, and it's lawful when it's used as it should be prescribed and under the care of a doctor.
Yeah.
Pseudoephedrine is the same way.
I want to talk about doctors related.
Yes.
So the drug, the abortion-inducing drug is called mifepristone.
That's exactly right.
This is a statement from the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. They released a joint statement with other organizations last year, 2025, saying that mifepristone was safe. And quote, "Our organizations maintain that mifepristone is a safe, effective, and integral part of the medical care that our members provide to their patients. Mifepristone has been used for decades by millions of patients, and complications are exceedingly rare, minor, or most often easily treatable." Now, Nancy, this is the country's organization of doctors who deliver babies, and they're in favor. They're saying that it's safe, it's harmless.
Yeah.
How do you respond to that?
Yeah, so that's very interesting that they say that. As far as I'm concerned, and you've heard me say this before, and a lot of people have heard me say this before, is this is the only medical practice where I know that at least half of the patients die. Right, because the baby actually dies. It's deliberate, intentional, and the baby dies. Not only that, but where the occurrences of miscarriages has increased over 500% in the emergency rooms. So these ladies that are taking these pills, whenever they start to have complications, they're encouraged to go to the emergency room and to say that they're having a miscarriage. And so that's one of the things that's really, I'm excited about House Bill 646, because it says that there's civil action.
Yeah.
It says that if a lady comes into the ER having a miscarriage, that the doctors, the medical community, they're required to give that lady documentation that says that in the event that she was participating and taking these abortion-inducing pills, that she has the opportunity to hold the medical staff, the provider of those pills, accountable. And I love this civil action piece.
Let's stop and talk about that a minute. This
yes,
means
sir.
That you can sue for serious damages.
Absolutely.
So millions potentially
if
the lady's harmed.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the people that don't like this are actually like, oh, Nancy, what you're doing is you're giving these ladies the opportunity to participate by taking these pills and then to gainfully, you know, financially gain from your actions. And the reason why I think this is so important is because these pills are being advertised and distributed as safe. And so it's absolutely, the advertisement is false. It's false advertisement. And that infuriates me.
You might be familiar with this organization, the Ethics and Public Policy Center. They did some research regarding the safety of mifepristone, and they found this, that approximately 10.9% of women undergoing medication abortion, again, largely mifepristone, experienced a serious adverse effect, which includes infection, hemorrhage, sepsis, and et cetera, over several years. That was based on insurance claims. They came out with this a while back.
That's right,
10%. But they're finding something that's different.
That's 10%. That's exactly right. And so therefore, I mean, those are serious. Those are life-threatening conditions.
So
is that safe?
So regarding safety, we just addressed what the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists has said. They put their stamp of approval. I've heard some people say that it's mostly a political decision, that the decision of that governing body does not reflect the rank and file in the OB-GYN community. But let's go back a little further to the FDA, because the FDA has to approve drugs. And tell us how that happened. Did they fast track it?
They did, as a matter of fact. And they removed the regulations. They removed the realms. And that means that they removed the responsibility of these of doctors being involved.
Yeah.
And so I don't really understand how we can have something that is so, where 10% of the patients are having life impacting complications, yet these pills shouldn't have to be under the care of a doctor like fentanyl.
So, Nancy, before the Dobbs decision, overturn Roe v. Wade, the law was, federal law was, that if those drugs are going to be administered, the doctor had to provide care
for
the woman.
That's exactly right. Absolutely.
Because it was a serious medical situation.
That's exactly right. There had to be doctor consultation, doctor involvement, a prescription.
Do you know, was there any scientific evidence or studies or research that they showed to say, hey, we're finding that it's so safe that it's just like taking aspirin? Was there anything that backed up that decision?
I'm going to say that not that I'm aware of. Okay. You know, and I'm glad you brought up aspirin, because as a matter of fact, even in our school system, mm-hmm. our children, my grandchildren cannot get an aspirin without my approval. And so we're allowing the opportunity for women under the age of 18 to get these pills without our awareness as adults, as the parents and grandparents.
Just to clarify, are you saying that some schools are giving this out?
Or I'm just comparing that to aspirin. That's
okay.
Correct.
And I got
if I thought that there were schools, then I would absolutely be back on the sidewalk, picketing those schools. Yeah, I'm glad to clarify that. Yeah.
Good. You might need another bill to address that. And hopefully we don't have
any
schools in Kentucky.
Absolutely. I'm just comparing that to aspirin's, you know, is nowhere near as complicated health-wise as these abortion pills.
There's a proverb that says, when a land transgresses, it has many rulers. But with a man of understanding and knowledge, its stability will long continue. The idea here is that when people live without regard to their neighbors and without moral boundaries, then you need more government to restrain people who've gone off the rails. So if people are going to flourish, God's truth must be embraced. After all, God tells us who we are, what's our purpose, and how to live in harmony with our fellow man. Christians should understand what God's word says and how to think biblically about the issues so that they can engage well. To stay up to date with what's going on in Kentucky, subscribe to CPC's newsletter. Go to commonwealthpolicycenter.org to subscribe. And you can also find other resources there. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Nancy, a number that I just heard recently was that approximately 63% of abortions today, this is across the nation, are medication abortions. And abortions have increased since
Roe
v. Wade.
That's right.
So considering that you can get a pill and have the abortion in the privacy of your home, don't have to have a doctor or be under a doctor's care. You can do it secretly.
There's probably
a lot of women that aren't even telling their boyfriends or husbands or parents that they had an abortion. So you have more privacy or secrecy, maybe. You don't have an abortion clinic or an abortion center where women have to go to. Has this changed the approach that pro-lifers are having to this? It used to be you'd have a physical location. Doctors were involved. You had to be more present. The women had to go to the actual facility. But has the abortion pill, medication abortion, has this changed the approach that pro-lifers are having to this whole topic? And really what I'm thinking is that it seems to me that abortions have increased. More women are taking the medication abortion. And it tells me that something's going on there. Even though we've passed laws, and I commend you, by the way, you and your colleagues in the Kentucky State Legislature have enacted is over a dozen pro-life laws in about 10 years, including that trigger law, which bans abortion. And I commend you. This is something that Commonwealth Policy Center has been committed to since day one.
Absolutely.
It's one reason why we existed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Started back in 2012 with that goal of becoming a pro-life state. But what's going on in my mind is that, hey, there's still women that are seeing this as the first resort after they are in an unexpected pregnancy. And do we need to work on hearts and minds changing?
Absolutely.
Do we need to? What other things can be done? What are we looking at in this big picture?
Yeah, and I agree with you. You know, so we know that because of the numbers that are being provided by the CDC, that there's over 4,000 women that are going outside of Kentucky in order to be able to get their abortions. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever I talked to the attorney general and his staff, as a matter of fact, in Louisville, where we had the only active, approved, state-approved abortion clinic, now that that's closed, the women in Louisville can actually walk across the bridge into New Albany. Mm-hmm. And get an abortion. And the reason why is because in Indiana, you can get an abortion if you claim rape or incest without a police report. Mm. Now, they don't have any clinics, but you do that in the hospitals.
So let me press on that, because this is, and that's going a little bit on a tangent here, going down a little bit path, but rape and incest exceptions to Kentucky's pro-life law. Pro-life protections extend to the life of the mother if there's some kind of threat to her life, but we do not have rape or incest.
That's correct. That is absolutely
correct. But you're saying Indiana does have
Indiana
that.
Indiana does have
I mean, is this
that.
Just a big loophole where everybody's going over there to Indiana?
Well,
or do we know how many are going
well, there
over
are there? Women that we know that are going into Indiana. And we know, obviously, that there are women that are traveling into Cincinnati, into Ohio, where it's, you know, where there's, as a matter of fact, I've been told there's as many as 100 license plates in Cincinnati at the abortion clinic.
And of course, in Ohio, they have it's a right to abortion.
They have
part
the
of
right
their constitution.
Abortion.
If this bill passes, it would crack down on the sale or the, using the mails, the postal service.
Trafficking and distribution.
Trafficking. I think it's like a minimum of 10 pills.
That's correct.
You're considered a trafficker?
That's correct.
Would if you caught somebody doing that, would they have the same penalties as, like, say, a drug dealer? What kind of penalties are involved?
Yeah, so it's a class, I think it was a class C felony. Okay. Yeah, so what we did is, in the current law for euthanasia, is that there was a difference between if you were an elderly or if you were disabled. Okay. Or if you were a sound mind, physically healthy, 18 to 50. Actually, it was 18 to 65. Okay. So if you were 18 to 65, it was a class C. Okay. And if you were disabled or elderly, it was a class C. Okay. And I said, so what we're doing is we're saying that basically if you're a healthy middle-aged person or 18 to 65, then it's that it's less of a concern for you to kill yourself. I wanted it to be consistent, for it to be a class B felony across the board.
So in either cases, there are, for the first time, if this bill passes, House Bill 646, you would have penalties against traffickers. So,
and distribution.
Theoretically, let's say these drugs are coming from California.
Okay.
Probably, or New York, either one of those states. Pro-abortion states, you've got abortion facilities there. People can obtain the drugs there. But let's say they ship drugs to Kentucky. How do you get that person? How do you bring them to justice?
Yes.
Is there a provision, or is this up to the state to extradite them? How does that work?
Yeah, so that's going to be, you know, that's going to be one of the interesting things. But, okay, so I used to work for UPS, of course. And so we had drug-sniffing dogs.
Okay.
So there's drug dogs that know if it's cocaine, know if it's fentanyl, know if it's, you know, we know what that is. So if there are distributors, and it probably is coming into all the major distributors without their knowledge. And so if we can track down fentanyl, then we can track down these abortion-inducing and death-inducing pills.
I listened to a presentation from the Attorney General's office about that, because right now you have states that are very pro-abortion. They see it as a constitutional right, and they're not governing their abortion clinics as far as if they're shipping out drugs. And I think maybe does this have to go to the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court or a federal court has to rule on whether or not there will be penalties for that. Because you just, every state is considered a sovereign state.
That's correct. That's correct.
And every state has the right to address abortion
That's
laws.
That's correct.
We can also address what comes across state lines.
That's correct.
So, for example, on, you know, the blue states.
This has already gone to the Supreme Court.
Blue states have restrictions on guns, right?
That's
you
correct.
Can't just, if you're a very gun restrictive state, you can't just, from Kentucky, we protect the Second Amendment. But you could be in trouble if you go to California. So does this need to go to court as far as a state that's not following Kentucky's law? Let's say this bill does get passed and the state refuses to enforce that. Are we looking at, a Supreme Court?
Not at all, because the Supreme Court has already ruled that the states have the authority and the ability to control abortion and to make the abortion-controlling laws.
Okay.
So this has already gone to the Supreme Court. And that was a very good question, because I asked the same thing. You know, we do know that President Trump and his administration has said that they will postpone a decision until 2027. Regarding these abortion-inducing pills and the safetyhood of these pills.
Okay.
But while they're doing their investigation, we have the opportunity and the ability and the legal authority to prohibit these pills coming into Kentucky. And so I want to make sure that anyone that is involved, they are aware that it will definitely completely solidify that these death-inducing pills are illegal in the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
So Nancy, the other portion of your bill deals with this new term, medical aid in dying.
That's
it's something
correct.
That I became aware of in the last year or
yeah,
two.
It's a new term that's being thrown around.
I wonder, and maybe you can address this, has there been some kind of polling or focus group that this term was used and it sounds a little less harsh than assisted suicide?
Well, sure. It's misplaced compassion. Yeah. As I said, it's supposed to be a safe pill. You're supposed to be able to end your life in the comfort of your own home.
Yeah.
And yet, unfortunately, we know of scenarios. We know of situations where that's not comfortable when you're laying in agony for 19 to 20 hours.
Yeah.
As you're waiting for these pills to kill you,
yeah.
That's not comfort.
I want you to listen to the statement that Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker said back in December, just a couple months ago. Illinois became the 13th state to legalize assisted suicide. This is what he said. I've been deeply impacted by the stories of Illinoisans or their loved ones that have suffered from a devastating terminal illness. And I've been moved by their dedication to standing up for freedom and choice at the end of life. In the midst of personal heartbreak, how do you respond? I mean, what do you say? Because you've got a real life situation of family members dying. In this case, it's terminal. They've got to have a terminal illness, and there you see them suffering. What would be the pro-life response?
Yeah, but you know, Richard, one of the interesting things is that if you have a UTI, if I have a UTI and it's untreated, that's a terminal illness. And so I have a 92-year-old aunt that I'm fortunate and thankful that I'm the guardian of. And so last year, she was actually in the hospital with a UTI, and she was terribly ill. It was an undiagnosed. As soon as I got her to the emergency room, I said, please test her for a UTI. It did not test positive.
Yeah.
But as she went on, she got sicker and sicker and sicker. So I said, please test her one more time for a UTI. Now, before they tested her one more time, the attending doctor said she no longer wants to live. And I said, wait a second. I am her guardian. And then not only that, have you ever been so sick that you really don't care if you live or die?
Yeah.
But you don't really mean that. You're just so sick. You don't think, you don't know. You're mentally imbalanced. And so this is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about. UTIs and other really, truly treatable illnesses that could be terminally illnesesses if they're not treated.
We know we've got just a few minutes until we have to wrap up, but we do know that there have been abuses with other countries that have legalized assisted suicide. Canada's been in the news recently because there was a situation where somebody was allowed to pursue life-ending drugs, and it was a young person who was not in the best psychological health. They had a history of that, but they ended up taking their own life. And the parents were upset because there was a question of coercion or pressure and really having an advocate, just like you were mm-hmm. in the situation with your aunt.
That's correct.
And, you know, when you go to a hospital or a clinic for help, the last thing you expect is to not walk out alive.
That's
you
right.
go there to be
That's
helped.
Correct. That's correct.
I want to talk and just spend the last couple minutes here on alleviating suffering because mm-hmm. nobody wants to see another human being suffer.
Correct.
You saw your aunt suffer. You were trying to help her.
That's correct.
You weren't advocating for the end of her life. Talk a little bit more about alleviating suffering when somebody might have a terminal illness or what have you.
Yeah. So several years ago, my mother passed away in 2013, but several years ago, she was in a farm accident and a tree fell on her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had her back was broken in a couple of places. It ruptured her spleen. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the attending doctors were not doing surgery on her. And as we were just kind of confused because with my brother, who is a nurse anesthetist, we finally deducted that they were just really going to just let her die. And so we as a family got involved and said, not on our watch. Her condition is treatable. And yes, she will have pain and suffering. It will be a long-term rehabilitation. Yeah. But we will not participate in this medical aid in dying.
Yeah.
We will not on our watch will this happen.
Yeah.
And so she was immediately put into surgery. She did have to go through rehab for several months, but my mother probably lived for 10 years.
Mm.
Was her life different? Absolutely.
Yeah.
It slowed her down,
yeah.
but that gave her 10 more years to spend time with her children and grandchildren
yeah.
and to
yeah.
live a very, very productive life.
Yeah.
And so that was a lesson learned for me, which told me that I needed to intervene with my aunt and that it's our responsibility to be advocates for the weakest among us.
Nancy, there is a bill in the state legislature, House Bill 408, that one of your colleagues introduced, and it would essentially legalize assisted suicide. And again, the language there is to alleviate suffering. You've got to be terminal. And I think it's hard for most people, again, they don't want to see suffering. And then you hear this language of compassion, care, personal decisions, like things like that. But one of the things, and I'll speak from experience here, you were there when your mother died. I was there when my father died 3 years ago, and he was a terminal cancer patient, and I was able to care for him. I've got three siblings, and we were all able to help care for him. But I could not imagine hastening his death. The other thing that is not considered is the community that comes forth when you're there to care for a loved one.
That's right.
And I got to spend some time with
That's
him
exactly right.
That I wouldn't have had otherwise. We got to reminisce. We got to joke. I got to be the caregiver. And one thing I said to him is, hey, and he said, you know, you can put me in a nursing home. I said, Dad, look, you took care of me the first
That's
18
right.
years of my
That's
life.
Right.
I'm returning the favor.
That's right.
But there's some precious, precious moments that you would not have if we had a culture that just said, hey, here's a pill or here's something, hook up the IV and we'll get it over with quickly. No, that is not human. It makes us less human, and it takes away, it subtracts instead
Absolutely.
Of gives. And this is something I'm afraid we avoid pain at all costs, and we want to alleviate suffering, but we avoid difficult circumstances at all costs. And I think that removes, we're losing some of our humanity.
Absolutely,
when we do that.
Absolutely. And the best thing about, you know, when my mother, she did suffer, that was a lot. She suffered tremendously. But one of the things that I do know is that she had morphine. And so while she was going through that pain and suffering, once she was rehabilitated and she was back in a home, then I know she knew that she suffered, but the brain is an amazing, amazing organ. And so she knew that she had suffered, but she couldn't remember the pain.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, so what we do is we prevent people the opportunity from going through those difficult times.
Yeah.
And then being reunited back with their family
yeah.
to live many, many, many productive years.
That's good. The bill is House Bill 646. State Representative Nancy Tate has sponsored it. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your good work. God bless you and keep
Thank
it up.
You. I appreciate that. Appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk about this wonderful bill. Thank you.